This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Tonight, in Season 3, Episode 62, I chat with previous guest and co-host of the Road to Noosa series on this podcast, Brooke Williams. Brooke, now 21 weeks pregnant, talks about her running to date. We also chat about the recent women's marathon world record and Brooke's running moving forward postpartum. She is due with her second born next year in February, but it's astonishing how many events she has planned and is hoping to continue training and performing at such events. I hope you enjoy listening again to the wonderful Brooke Williams. Welcome back, Brooke Williams, to the Local Legends in Running podcast. I'll give you the intro like I did a few times back in the day, shall we call it, around May time, the Noosa, Road to Noosa series we did with Paul Goulet. You were co-host there, and you've been on here as a guest for a one-on-one interview. But the intro I used through that series was your Zatopek status. You were there, you have been there four times. We might not talk about that fourth one that you did, or maybe you will, if you can rewind back to the series, listeners, you might hear of that. But what an amazing thing, four times the Australian 10K Zatopek champs for the women. So clearly some talent here. And as I mentioned, a previous co-host and guest, so welcome again.
Thanks for having me back. Excited to be back.
I'm so excited. There's been a massive hiatus. I'm not sure if you noticed. You've been a guest and a co-host, but not sure how much you listened. It's been a few months since I've been back on here, so I am generally very, very excited. Why hasn't it been coming out? It's life, you know, family life, and trying to get this thing up and running. I don't like doing things at, you know, half rate. I like to do it well and properly, and it's been a busy time with family particularly, and with work. So I thought it might be easy to get Brooke back on to ease back into it to calm the nerves.
Yeah, very good. I think it's a common trait of runners to not do things in halves.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Definitely,
very common trait. But yeah, it was a pretty troubling winter for a lot of people. So looks like we're out of the trenches now. So all good. And weather's better and it's running season.
Yeah, exactly. And from what I can tell, you're alluding to the sickness that gets around. And that's what I didn't mention earlier, is those illnesses that can really affect the parents out there, of the running parents, that is, of kids in daycare or even out of daycare who spread those things so easily and quickly. Yeah, so it was May was the last time you were on here for the finale, we called it, after Noosa, our recap, Paul Goulet, yourself and me after our run there. I think we all would have preferred to perform a little bit better, but I would have picked you as the runner on that day, Brooke. So it's been a few months since then, and this will act as a bit of a catch up. But we did talk about discussing this marathon, the recent female marathon best of all time, just last weekend too.
Yeah, discuss some lots of different things that have happened. The Olympics too happened, which feels like a while ago now, but yeah, lots of running news.
Yeah, so let's start with you. And before we even get to any catching up, and now a pregnant lady too, in 20 weeks something, isn't it, of your pregnancy?
Yeah, 21, yep.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be relevant, I think, just to update the listeners on, or even for the very first time, they might be tuning in to this episode, especially because it's been a few months for the very first time, and they might want to know a little bit about Brooke Williams. Just run us through the, family life, where you live. You're from down south, of course, and just some of the PBs that stand out for you or achievements in your running time.
So yeah, I've always been a runner, but I've had sort of ins and outs of running, few years off, few years in. But yeah, I moved up to Baruga, which is on the border of New South Wales and Victoria, after I got my first teaching job, which was around about 2016, I think. So I've been here a while now. But yeah, love running, and love running competitively. So I think my favourite is the 5 and 10K, on the track or on the road. I've run the 5K in 16, 14, and the 10K in 34, 32, I think. And I've run some halves and marathons too. And yeah, that's me. I've got a son, Hudson, who's 3, and one on the way. Yeah, due in Feb. So yeah, that's me.
Excellent. And of course, if you want to go back to that episode, particularly the one-on-one I had with Brooke, you can find out a little bit more about her. We're here today to catch up with Brooke in the sense that she is 21 weeks pregnant. You are further down the track in a very, very different way. And a funny story here for the listeners, and we just spoke off air about this, Brooke. I did notice myself personally, I had a hint that you may have been pregnant back at the Gold Coast Marathon. That was again in July this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it wasn't not long after the marathon in Noosa, I found out that I was having a baby. So yeah, it was that's actually probably found out about 7 weeks just before Gold Coast half. So I'd been training pretty well before Gold Coast half. I did a few sessions that were around that, really good marathon pace and half marathon pace, like 3:45 pace would have been my PB pace for the half. And that was feeling really comfortable in training. I was like, sweet, I'll be able to, do a good, good race. But the morning of the race, Riley and I went down, Riley ran as well. And we got in an Uber to get to the race start, and it was really windy. And I'm in the back seat just going, oh no, this is not a good feeling. So I couldn't really hide it. I was hoping that, yeah, the morning sickness wouldn't be apparent, but it was, there was a few dry reaches and spews behind bins.
Wow.
Before the start line.
Wow, but, that's epic.
And then, it's so different, that event, because it starts it's so dark. Like, I don't think I've ever started a race with, I suppose Noosa was pretty dark at the start. But, yeah, it was really cool to sort of start and then watch the sunrise and just the whole race, how it panned out. But, yeah, so great, great event. I've never done that one before. So Riley nearly beat me. He was only about 30 seconds behind. And I think I just went out, I got a bit excited and went out at that pace, that 3:45 pace I thought I'd be able to hold. And I felt so bad at halfway that I actually thought I might pull out, but I really hate DNFing. So I was like, no, I won't do that. Just finished. And that's when I saw you at the tent and you're sort of going, this look like shit, right? Pulling off the pace a bit.
Yeah, I was with my group at the time, the Burt Squad in Brisbane, there under the tent and seeing you pass by, and it looked awfully lonely. You're on your own. And I did have that. I sort of thought you would have come in earlier. And I'm trying to compliment you here. It doesn't sound like it, but, it's something seemed a little bit off. And I thought, I just had this thought run through my mind that potentially a pregnancy was there and another child on the way at some point. But what times did you guys finish up with you and Riley for that that day.
For Gold Coast.
Yeah.
So I think I was like 3:54 pace. I think it was 123. Yeah, 123, maybe 20, I think I was. Sorry, I don't have the actual result. But I know Riley was, yeah, about 30 seconds behind me. So, yeah. But it was a strange one because there was parts that were windy. You did the half, didn't you?
I was, no, I did the 10K this year.
You did the 10, missed out
yeah. on the half marathon sign up just with it being so hectic to get in there. So I was in the 10K, but it was also windy on that different day, of course.
It was a bit of a strange day. I feel like there were definitely pockets where people were like surging and you felt good. And then all of a sudden there were just parts where you're just like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, and I think a southerly in the direction when you were finishing in those final sort of 5K in both events, well, all events rather, the 10, half and marathon as well.
Yeah, I could sense that people were feeling the same because I could see people sort of like, I saw a few people stopping, they're at my pace and then going again. And I'm like, what is going on with this race?
Yeah, well, before we continue, actually, was that your last event or had you done a recent 10K in my mind that you may have done?
Yeah, so I did that one and then so I did Gold Coast and then I was really sick after that. Obviously, morning sickness affects you until about 13 weeks. I couldn't barely run at all. So, yeah, recently we went and did Melbourne because Riley was doing the full marathon and
That's
I had
right.
Heaps of clients running as well. So I just thought I actually really enjoy the 10K. I probably enjoy the 10K more than any of the other events at Melbourne. I like it because
at Melbourne, yeah.
Yeah, Melbourne is so busy. It's just so many people, especially the half is the busiest event. And I just feel like in the MCG, like it's amazing that you finish there, but it just gets so congested and it's crazy. So I like doing the 10 because then you're done early and you can sort of like watch everyone else quickly go have a shower and then come back and stuff. So I've done that a few years in a row now. But yeah, I finished, I was surprised myself because I hadn't run 10K in ages. Like, yeah, that was my maximum case for a long time because I really took a break. I really felt like I wanted to take the break too. So yeah, and I think I finished in 44 minutes. Yeah, 44:26. So I was happy with that. Yeah.
Yes, it is. I didn't say the date before. I say that every episode. Maybe it's been too long out of this gig, but 18th of the 10th and last weekend, 18th of October now, and last weekend was the Melbourne Marathon, wasn't it? Timed at the same weekend as Chicago, which we'll talk about shortly too. At 20 weeks pregnant then. So pretty impressive.
Yeah. I was scared because my PB, Riley was about to beat my PB in the marathon because I was watching him in the app and my PB for the marathon from Noosa, not going by Strava. We don't do that, do we?
No, we don't do that.
Officially by Noosa. was 2:20, 2 hours 56,
ridiculous.
I think, yeah, something, 20. And Riley prediction time was 2:55. So I'm like stressed. I'm like, oh no. but nah, I think I still got him by about 30 seconds. So
yeah, Brooke's alluding to her Strava time that they give you. and often in a marathon will hit earlier because you, of course, wind around people and take the outside lane often, so to speak, too, in the races. So it's something to think about, but isn't he getting faster too? You might have to get him on this podcast soon.
It's been funny because we've just been having a bit of banter, a few months. He's the type of person that sort of like trains very, very intuitively. He'll just sort of see a cool session on Strava and copy it and stuff. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, I'm very like, you know, stick to a plan and gradually increase. So I've been giving him a bit of shit about that. But then he actually 18 minute PB, so pretty good.
There you go. Sometimes it is a maybe a good thing to spice things up a little bit. Let's get to this marathon then, Brooke, because there's so much to fit in about it. And then we'll get to your training thus far in the pregnancy and what you sort of plan after that. So, yeah, last weekend, Ruth Chepngetich, the pronunciation often escapes me. I think I've got that correct. But Chicago Marathon, the fastest ever women's marathon, 2 hours, 9 minutes, 57 seconds. And she's taken a couple minutes off Asafa's previous world record. And I think it was, wasn't it 5 minutes off her personal previous PB too?
Yeah, and I think she's had a few events where she's sort of been up and down. Like she's run 2:14 and then 2:11. She had injuries. She missed out on the Olympics, I think. She's DNF'd a few races. So I think this must have just been a race for her where it just sort of fell into place.
Yeah, so obviously a huge margin ahead, 2 minutes in the marathon. And we're talking about, like, there was a time around the time I was born in the late 80s, for 10 years, in the male marathon, the men's marathon, there was no record broken for 10 years. And we're talking around up to about a handful, I think, on both genders, male and women, in the last 10, if particularly women, in the last 5 years more so. It just breaking so frequently. So, you know, there's so many questions about that. Of course, footwear is one of those. The unfortunate conversations got to be about things that we shouldn't be taking for performance enhancing, aka drugs. And unfortunately, again, we've seen some of the Kenyans in recent times to be proven to be guilty to be using such things to enhance performance. So it's a terrible thing to think about that this conversation we're even having, but it's on our minds a lot, isn't it now?
Yeah. And I think, like, just recently with Kenya, just having a big overhaul of their anti-doping and busting a lot of people. I think WADA has stepped in a lot with the Kenyans to try and get them. So it's just unfortunate that result has that association. Like if it is legit, which we hope it is, I guess it's upsetting for her because she would have that association with the result, you know what I mean? But, yeah, definitely, like, over the last 10 years, I can't believe how much it's changed. And I was actually talking to Mona about it a few times because he's ran 2:08. But he's like, oh, I always think, imagine if he had all the technologies and fueling and nutrition, shoes, everything like that. Because it's not just the shoes for the performance, like the cushion and the support in training is making people be able to train
the
more.
Longer term, yeah.
So yeah, and bounce back, like it was unheard of even, you know, to bounce back so quickly too, between marathons and be able to bank that much. So yeah, it's definitely just come a long way. Like I even like always baffle at the way Steve used to tell me that he used to fuel for marathons. Like he would barely have, he never had gels. He did the carb load where he would go low carb. So an advanced technique of carb loading is deplete carbs. So just eat zero carbs, just go out and eat steak and stuff, like just protein. And then apparently your body is more the cells are more reactive to carbohydrate. Then you do your carb load. So he did all sorts of things that were just not on the protocol now. So yeah, he only really took like a swig of sports drink, he said. So I always think he'd run like, I don't know, 2:05, I reckon now. But yeah, definitely has come such a long way. It's really changed the game.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right about the super shoes or super trainers now, even that longer term benefit from training, being in them all the time, the performance during the session, but also that recovery. We recover so much better. You might recall too, you're a bit younger than myself, but the month after the marathon was like this staple time to really not do too much. And now we're seeing marathoners within even 2 weeks later. We've seen Jen Gregson. She's since the Olympics, she's run the Bridge to Brisbane, for example, 10K. And then she was in the modern marathon herself and won the half. So
yeah. Well, she won the full.
Sorry, the full marathon.
Yeah.
So that's just, that's one example of many who can just so quickly recover from these things.
I think the elites, like they pretty much, they've done a like marathon training program for years. You know what I mean? Like Jen would have done marathon mileage for so many years. So I think that's why a lot of the elites, when they go to the marathon, it's not that too big of a jump. Do you know what I mean? Because they've done over 100 Ks a week for 15 years. But not only that, but yeah, it just seems that the technology now and just the way they're able to just turn it around, it was never heard of. Like, yeah, you definitely take a whole month off after a marathon and, yeah, you wouldn't push through like that because you also risk the injury.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's go back. Let's talk specifically about Ruth because we've got to dive in deeper here. And here's some stats for the listeners. I've been doing a lot of research on this since it ever happened. But her half marathon, the first half of her race, was the fifth fastest half marathon of all time, right? And then the second one, it was a positive split. The second one was the 36th fastest of all time half marathon, if she were to run a half marathon, that is. Only 10 male athletes beat her. She's 30 years of age, but only 10 males actually were ahead of her, which is crazy. Then there's conversions you can do, like the World Athletics conversions and ranks actually spit out this time relative to the male marathon as a sub 2 hour run, which is obviously crazy. And we spoke about what's 4 minutes, 22 seconds, her PB, that difference, which is remarkable. So
I just can't believe that she positive split. Because I think the first 5K was 15 minutes and then it just slowly got like 10 seconds slower each 5K split. And towards the end, it was like 15:36, 15:40 or something. So that amazes me too, because that's never a strategy that anyone would recommend.
Yeah, exactly.
The right one.
It's only we're looking at minute and a half. So 64:16, her first half marathon. 65:41 was that second half. And within only that minute and a half, she's dropping around about 36th if it were to be a half marathon race of all time. Individually, that is. But that just gives perspective, doesn't it, on how remarkable that performance is. She's in the Nike Alpha Fly 3. Of course, the Alpha Flies have been well spoken about ever since they were released, the number one version. And they're so prominent out there too. So what is this? How does she do this? If we ignore the conversations we mentioned earlier about anything in those negative connotations, like what training is she doing? To what's she eating?
What's the secret? Yeah, well, obviously they're doing a lot of strength over in Kenya. They've always been like that though. Like they've always trained super hard and they've got so many training partners as well over there. But yeah, the way that she actually raced, I wonder if that was the plan, like the splits per 5K and to positive split. I wonder if that was the plan and whether people might do that now. Like, because, yeah, that's the fastest ever.
We spoke about Steve Monteghetti and he's coached you on and off for a number of years. Isn't he a fan of positive splitting, or have I got that wrong? Am I thinking of somebody else?
More even, yeah. He'd probably say to always run even, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I did the 5K champs in 2022. He wrote me an essay email after it, pulling apart every lap. And then like, so he just analyzes a lot. He's a numbers person. But yeah, I would say he's definitely more even, but he does run, he definitely runs really intuitively. Like he goes by feel a lot. Yeah. And race is the race.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, back on Ruth then, like, you know, we know the Kenyans train in these big groups, altitude, the progressive long runs that they start a lot of them slowly build into them. They eat well. We know they eat a very carbohydrate driven diet. But nothing else that you know of or can think of in more recent times. Like she is 30. She's run a few of these things now, but she's no Eliud Kipchoge in his late 30s. I know he's at the end of his career now, but he was thriving at 36, 37 years of age. She's 30.
Yeah. No, I've never really heard of her, to be honest. She sort of is one that just came out of nowhere, which is worrying sometimes. But yeah, I'm not sure. It could sometimes just be like I feel like people have a breakthrough after they've just had years and years of that layering of training, and then all of a sudden the breakthrough happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe yes. Yeah. Yeah. For now, I'm just going to say it's an amazing performance. She's ahead of some amazing athletes too. I've got the list here from her downwards. Asafa, Hassan, Kozgai, Beriso, Radcliffe. Like these names are huge.
Yeah.
And Radcliffe's down at 2:15, 6 minutes away from her.
Do you remember like when Radcliffe was just like a goddess? Like we'd think no one would ever touch that world record because it just hung around for so long. but now it's just getting beaten all the time, nearly every weekend.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got to look at sprinting too. And, for example, Usain Bolt in the men's holds the 100 and 200 meter record, which were broken back around 2012, I think. That's been 12 years. Like, yeah, why are the sprinting records? I know it's the race is performed over a much shorter time, but why are records like that staying for so long, yet the distance ones are improving? Is it simply, do you think, because the event runs for a longer period of time, there's a more of an opportunity to actually improve? Or do you think the things like nutrition and footwear add up because of it being that duration and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Also, I think it's just been a lot of interest more in running, like, you know, in the media and in general. Like, I feel like running is in a real big running boom at the moment.
Yeah, completely agree. Well, let's get to you then, Brooke. So this is the 21st week of the pregnancy.
Yep. So just run Melbourne. Looking forward to finishing the pregnancy. So that should be.
Yeah, you're doing very well running this far. But yeah, just talk us through how it's looked from the start. We've alluded to the morning sickness. You're running Gold Coast there at about 10 weeks, Melbourne the other week at 20 weeks. But more so around training and balancing the running with that. You know, I do train with a number of females and women that have had babies, and there'll be certainly women that listen into this about how you manage that. And it's not always possible, is it, for women to do this, but you've made it possible. So want us to know how.
Yeah, to be honest, over the last 3 years, like since I came back from the heart and after having Huddy, I haven't missed a training session for the last 3 years. So when it was coming up to Noosa, like after I did Noosa Marathon, I'm glad I did that marathon because I honestly feel like I needed a break. Like I hadn't had any downtime really. If I did get a short injury, I would still be cross training like, 8 to 9 hours a week, the amount of time that I would be running anyway. So it's been pretty full on the last 3 years with training. So I knew it was a good time to just take a break. And I actually learned a lot during that period. I was like, I think sometimes when you're a competitive runner, you just get so used to your routine and being disciplined with it that you don't realize how often like you're putting running first, or you're not in a bad way, but just you're prioritizing it because, you know, you love it and it's just part of what you do. You've done it for so long. But it's just been really nice to just, take the pedal off a bit and just, I don't know, just like a few times I went down and saw my parents and I didn't have to worry about fitting in a run, or I could just not train if I didn't want to. So that's been really good. It's not just, for me anyway, like it's not just sort of fitting in the running. It's like doing all the injury prevention. Like I find that if I don't follow up with that and be disciplined with that, then I probably will get injured. Can't be consistent, can't compete and everything like that. So yeah, to be honest, I really just enjoyed not running for a bit. It was nice to just sort of be like, oh, I'm tired today, I'm not going to train. So I really did love that, but I feel like it caught up with me pretty quickly. And then I got to a point where I felt like I really missed it, but it wasn't from a point where I was like, I needed it. I actually wanted it. Like I wanted to be involved in the community and stuff like that. I feel like I had a break and then I was like, oh, I really want to do it again. And I feel like that's so good. That's why you have a break. You know what I mean? So I feel like I got that, the bug back, and I'm ready to train a bit more now. But I think the lowest amount of Ks I ran was 30 for the week. I was at one point I was really sick. So I was only running about 6 Ks a day. For some reason I just can't run on the treadmill at the moment. My body's just like, no. So, but I'm just not pushing it hard at all. Like, I think after 20 weeks, you like have a really very, very small chance of any kind of miscarriage. So I didn't really want to push it until, of course, after 12 weeks. But then I know like there's still, it's healthy to exercise when you're pregnant if you've been doing it for ages, which I had. But I still feel like it's something that sits in the back of your mind because you just don't know. You just don't want to stress your body out too much that, you know, that you can't carry for the full term. So I think that once I had my 20-week scan, I was just like, this is like a huge relief. I was just like, okay, like it should be fine from now on. I can start to train a bit more. But I feel like, yeah, it was just, it was good to get, it was sort of a milestone I had in my head to just get past that. But but yeah, it's definitely something. I think the hardest part is it's such a sudden change. Like you go from, especially if you're really active and like feeling healthy, you've done, you know, that you've been in your habits for so many years. It's so weird that you change so suddenly. Like your body is just like, nah, I'm not doing this anymore. Or like, you just feel like you're a different person. Like I just like randomly was like craving like KFC, haven't eaten KFC in like years, but just stuff like that. I was just like, who is this person? Like, yeah. And it's really, that's what we were talking about before. It's really hard to get your head around because you're like, yeah, it's just such a drastic change in like your life and your body. And it's just hard to sort of adjust to. But yeah, I know from before, like from having Huddy, that you can always find your way back. So I think I'm just like learn to just embrace each thing as it comes and yeah, just take it on as it comes along. But yeah.
Yeah, good, good. I just want to dive into the like running during pregnancy idea too, because many years ago, like it was that women were told not to do anything really. They were just told to go about their everyday life and be, you know, do the housework, go for a walk, that kind of thing. And the whole idea of running is in the history of all of this, of women having babies is a very recent thing. Like, have you done much research or spoken to your doctor or obstetrician about it? I remember my obstetrician talking to my wife about it and saying that, you know, it's okay. The baby's going to be okay. A bit of movement, jumping, you know, being in the gym and that kind of thing, and running is fine to a degree. But what about like intensity too? So like how many intense or harder effort sessions or runs have you been doing? Is that just something you do to feel now? How's that looked in training?
Yeah, so I just go everything to feel or heart rate. Like I'm still getting my heart rate up there in a session, but I'm definitely not doing any long sessions, like maximum maybe 20 minutes with long recoveries. So it'd be like 3 minutes hard, 2 minutes recovery. My heart rate's still getting up to maybe 170, but not going like higher than that. I wouldn't go to 180 or 189. Not going anywhere near max. And I've always just like had this thought that like if anything feels like bad, doesn't feel good, just stop. I think that's like the biggest key that the doctors tell you is just like if it doesn't feel right, like there's a reason for it. So that's sort of what I sort of do. But and I think like in the past, the reason that exercises have sort of been against it because there's not much research in it, and I think they're afraid to do research because like even with things like that they say tell you not to eat, like most of the time it's just because they haven't got enough research to show why that's bad, or so they just cut it. They just say no completely, or lots of things that you're not allowed to do. It's because they can't do the research, so they just, it's like a blanket cover. No, answer is no. So I think that that's where that comes from. I think a lot of doctors, it was the same with my heart. Like a lot of cardiologists would say no because they would be afraid to say yes. Yeah, it's like a blanket cover. Yeah.
So that like, how's that going to look too moving forward? Because it really is about uncomfortability now, isn't it? So like you were sort of speaking about there, alluding to that, if it doesn't feel comfortable, why are you doing it? You know, and because to a degree, it's going to be safe. But once you're hitting 30 weeks, that's where a lot of women are showing pretty prominently, aren't they?
Yeah. Last time I think I actually stopped now. I think I stopped it 24 weeks and I just did bike riding. Yeah, heaps of weights and bike riding. But yeah, I've just got this new little drone. So I've been I've been really loving some little trails and running with that. So that's been cool. But yeah, I think that the main thing is I'll still try to exercise every day. I'm actually finding it really hard now that I'm back teaching to fit it in. I don't know how you do it, Ollie. I'm just finding I'm so tired.
Either do I, but you make it work.
Yeah.
Obviously, the women have a bit more to do with their breastfeeding too and all those things that affect women around before and after babies too, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it can be pretty hectic. But no, I'm confident. Because I've come back from having Hardy too, I'm confident that I can get back into it. So, yeah, I'm sort of accepting it as the weeks go on. Yeah, and just doing what I can.
Excellent. So if we look at inspirations for you or guidance or anything again around research about postpartum and running, we can look at someone like Jess Denson, who even this year she came back after 6 or 7 months of having a baby, and she was, I think she ran this is a marathon we're talking about here. It was the Daegu marathon, wasn't it? In Korea, have I got that correct? And
6 months.
Two, and it was about a 2 hour 24-ish run.
Yeah, I
You
think
know,
it's
and
2 hours
this is at the
24
very elite
or
level.
something.
Jen Gregson has been showing us similar, and that environment that they're exposed to and that they get looked after at that elite level is maybe not comparable to a recreational athlete, but what's your plans moving forward with that postpartum?
So I think I'm just going to get straight back into it next year. I've already planned my entire year, so I feel
I'm
like
not
as a
surprised.
parent, as a parent, you have to. And I think that because I'm anticipating like another child, I'm like, I know I have to be super organized. And it's just little things too, like getting to races and the airports and travel and all that. So I think that'll probably be my biggest challenge. I've already got sort of childcare stuff in place ready to go next year. But I did have a thought for a while. I was like, it's going to be too hard. Maybe I should just run, just run recreationally and not try and run fast anymore. Like I went through this phase where I was like, oh, maybe it's time to give it up. But I think I think I'll regret it. I thought to myself, I'll regret it when I'm like 50 or 60. I'm like, why didn't I keep going and just try to get a little bit faster? Yeah, because of Jen and Jess and lots of women who have run well into their 40s even. I just think, why not? If I can try and make it work, and at the end of the day, it's good for you. It's good for your body. So if you can do a sport that's healthy and good for you, then why not continue?
Yeah, agree. Let's get to you though. So you've got we just spoke about those events that you have planned for next year. And I'm not surprised that you've got a number of events planned, Brooke, but what are they? Are you back at Noosa?
Yes, I'll be back in Noosa. I'm going to circle the 10K. that'll be my first week back. So I'm planning on just doing, a decent training block, just easing into it for about 10 weeks. We go on a massive family holiday for that weekend. So I'll be there for about a week at the RSCV because we love it. so we'll be there for Noosa 10K. Then I'll do Gold Coast again. I feel like when I have time off, I see all these events happening and I'm like, oh, I just want to go and do them all next year. So I'm just going to do that, do Goldie, Sunny Coast. I've never done before. I don't know if you've done that one.
Yeah, I did this year for the first time. Yeah, great event.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go come up and do that one. And then I'm going to do Sydney 10K. And I think I'm going to do my first triathlon. So, well, not first one, but first one in a while. I'm going to do the Noosa triathlon. I'm going to do the Bolt and then the triathlon the next day, mainly because it just looks so fun.
My question, you go, sorry.
No, you go.
Oh, my question is, so obviously there'd be a lot of women out there who've had babies or maybe pregnant too, listening, wondering how on earth are you thinking about doing so many things postpartum? Is part of this like that they're actually selling out quickly too, that you need to get in, obviously, and also I think you are a person who wants to make plans, but because anything can happen, can't it, post baby?
Yeah. But I feel like
Tick the refund
I feel
box.
Like I've been training. I think just experience with training helps. Like when I first had a huddy, I didn't make plans like this because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. But I think after training for so many years, you sort of get to know you can plan ahead because you're like, well, this is what my body does when I do X, Y, Z. Do you know what I mean? So, but either way, if I'm not there because of injury or whatever can happen, I'll still go and have a holiday and maybe try to run 5K or do what I can, I guess. I think that's important. Like I say to the people that I coach too, if you ever, got your eyes on the marathon, just book another race as well, just in case things don't go to plan, because then you can still, because it is quite an investment to go there and book your accommodation and all your flights, especially if you've got kids. Like it's a lot to get to, but that's why I sort of like having the fam there, because it's more just like a fun holiday that we plan for the year. And then, it's just a bonus if I run well.
Yes,
So, lots of holidays.
only 18 weeks. If we go off the 39 weeks is the the general marker, isn't it? That you know, they expect babies to come. Of course, they come later and earlier, but 18 weeks takes us to 4 months, which is what about, what's the due date? February?
Yeah, end of Feb. Yeah.
Feb, wanting to
So I'll be
run
about,
Noosa, what, 3
yeah, I'll
months
be
later?
about 13 weeks postpartum, I think. Yeah. So I'll give it a go. I ran 17:17, I remember, I think 2 months after having Huddy for the 5. So I think I'm confident I can get back into it, but yeah, we just have to see, hopefully. But yeah, got a big year planned next year. Pipe dream is that I run Zatopek end of next year. The qualifier was 35:30 this year. So if I think I could try to get around that time by next year. It usually takes me about 9 months to get fit again if I've had a big break. That was what happened after my heart and after having Huddy. So I just sort of think long term. I always increase the mileage only by 10%. And it's painfully slow because sometimes I'm running like 3K. And the next week it's like 4K on the Monday run. And then the next week it's 5. And it's so annoying, but I just know from experience, if I don't do that 10% load to get over 100 Ks, it just results in injury. I think over the years, I've learned that you can do your strength training and stuff, but usually all injuries happen because of some random influx or random event that you've done. Like if you haven't done 18 K in ages, and you just decide to do it, usually always that's the cause of an injury. It's always load management. So I've just learned now, just never go crazy. Just be smart with your, especially total overall weekly mileage. Yeah.
Yeah, true. So have you planned or thought about that opposite end then? If things don't go as planned and as well as you would have hoped to, you know, often mothers get asked what they'll do to buy time. I reckon that's a terrible question because the main thing you're doing is keeping your child alive. But and I really hope it does go well for you, Brooke, and that these plans come to fruition. But yeah, what if it doesn't? And what if it is that survival mode for you? Any things that you've thought about to get through that kind? Like how were those first few months with the firstborn too? Is sleep particularly, and also any illnesses that may have arisen?
Yeah, I think I just try to just take it one day at a time. Yeah, and just see what happens. And I think I used to sort of struggle with a lot of like all or nothing mindset. And I think a lot of runners are the same. But I've really worked hard on just having a let's make the best of it mindset. So that's sort of just the approach I'm going to have. If I'll have a plan, but if I can't get there, I'll just work up to it and try to get there. But I think also just like not putting pressure on yourself. I think especially the first year, like anyone who's postpartum, like not to put any pressure on yourself, like, yeah, it's really good if you've got experience and you know you can do something, like go and plan. But I feel like don't put any pressure to have it done or, you know, meet certain times or anything like that. Like just take it as it comes, I think. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sleep. I forgot all about the sleep. And just little things are coming back to me that I'm reminded of every time I go on an appointment. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're back to square one.
Yeah, and I'm a prime example this year with our second born and experiencing it yet again, and almost always never as bad as the lady who has the baby and is often breastfeeding too, and it can be very tough. So hopefully it goes well. I love the idea of just booking the trip and if possible making another run work if getting into a shorter event is possible. There's runs where walking is even allowed, you know, time wise that you could walk along, or if you've got older kids, maybe you could throw the kids in a race. So I love there's some kind of commitment to that and just making something work out of it. But if we look go quickly then into the like elite scene now and the next year or so, like even just 2025, who's on the radar for you? And if we start with the women, because I reckon that there's a bit more depth on that higher end at the moment, obviously both sides, but particularly the women. Who's standing out for you at the moment?
It'll be interesting to see how Izzy, Jen and Jess run at Valencia. I think that at least one of them will run. I could even speculate that the Australian record could be in contention. Mm-hmm. I think they've got potential to run really well there. So that'd be really interesting. But also on the weekend, you know, Caitlin Adams?
Yes.
She's usually a 5 and 10K runner. She ran, I think it was 72, 73 for her first half. So, and then Leanne Pompiani, is that how you say it?
Yes,
she you know, she's been doing so well. She'll do well in the marathon. Like, she just ran 1 hour and 9 minutes, nearly cracked 1:09. So if she goes to the marathon, like, she'll be amazing too. So I think there's heaps of potential there for the distance events. Yeah. But
what about Diver and Waitman? Do you know if they're continuing?
Waitman is. So Lisa is continuing. I'm not sure about Sinead. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, there's lots of competition for sure. Also, if you've heard of Vanessa Wilson, she ran 2:28 recently over in Berlin. So she's sort of someone, I think I ran at Zatopek with her maybe 2022. So, and she was running, I think, 34 minutes or so for the 10K. So she's just one that's sort of gradually chipped away and been consistent over the years. And she went and ran 2:28. Wow. Yeah.
There's so many sub 2:30, isn't there, in the women's field? Like, in Australia right now, how many do you think are sub 2:30?
Yeah, heaps. There'd probably be 8, I think. Yeah.
I was thinking even more. Like,
yeah,
maybe 10 to 15. That could be a little bit rich, but there's plenty.
Yeah. But back in the day, like, 2:40 used to make world champs teams sometimes. Yeah. So now it's like, yeah, it's insane, which is awesome. Yeah. So it's really, quite a packed field. And even the half, like, it's really competitive too. There's a heap of girls that are running like 74, 75, 76. Like, it's super competitive in the long distance. Yeah.
Yeah. And on the men's side now, it's like, there's a lot of men in their prime right now, isn't there? And there's a few younger ones coming in, but your McSwains, your Robinsons, your Rainers, these guys, Liam Adams and Ryan Gregson, for example, probably towards getting towards the end of their peaks in their career. But there's a lot of them in their prime. But what about any of the younger guys that you know of out there? Otherwise, how are these regulars going to bow, do you think, in the next 6 months to a year?
Yeah, like the younger ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like Claudia Hollingsworth, she's going to do well. She's short distance. Rose Davies has always been really strong, so she's doing well with those. But there is sort of a gap there, isn't there, for the 5 and the 10. Like, Lauren Ryan ran our 10K for the Olympics, but there's certainly spots there that could be grabbed. Yeah, even if one of our marathoners, like, came down and did the 10 or the 5 instead. But,
And definitely on both sides too, isn't it? It's hard to look at the marathon because often they'll do it when they're older, but in the men's side too, even some Queenslanders, Liam Burden, you might have heard of too.
Yeah.
And a couple of the Gold Coast guys, he's been on and off the Gold Coast for a few years now, running some amazing half marathons and also marathons too, up and coming in those younger ages, sort of mid-20s. So it should be exciting.
Yeah, and if you heard of Nathan Stoat, he's actually from Cobram. I actually taught him.
Yeah, Seth O'Donnell down there too. He's killing it. Yeah,
yeah, Nathan. There's a few coming through. I think Jack Rayner will run a fast time too soon. I think he's in contention. Like, he's pretty strong. He looks strong at Melbourne.
Oh, how good was he? Yeah. Yeah, and solo.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
And, like, Ryan Gregson's finally seems like he's had his breakthrough. So, yeah, it's very exciting on the Australian road running scene.
Yeah, agreed.
We forget how good we've got it here. Like, when I went and did that race in New Zealand, it was nothing compared to Australia. Like, it's almost become the way Americans have been for years, just how strong their road running is and how fun it is. And even for them to come over to Gold Coast, like, I remember Sarah Hall and Natasha Waddick, she's from Canada, they came over and got beaten by the Aussies. So it just shows, like, how strong we are, like, and how, like, well-developed all of our scene is.
And yeah, definitely, like, a lot of those runners training in this very country too, in Australia. Overseas scene in America too has been strong, more so for the younger athletes, but it's been really, cool to see a lot of them training in groups here. And if we can keep them here and the groups get bigger and bigger, we can only see that improve.
Yeah. And, like, even with recent result with Jess Hull, like, and she's talked about how moving home was really beneficial for her. And I think, like, in America, they do the big, you know, sponsored teams like Team Brooks and all that. And that's just the way they've sort of run things. And it's sort of continued on from that collegial system. But I think that we're showing that you don't have to have that. You can be from, like, a smaller country. And if you're really focusing on improving your performance and where you need that strength, which is what Jess did all of last year, you know, people like, how did she improve so quickly? It's because she just honed in and really focused on what she needed, you know what I mean? So it just shows that you can, as long as you've got the heart in it and you can do the hard work, like just where you live, yeah, and we've got great facilities to run and great environments.
Yeah, and we've been one of the most local coaches too, Jess, her father, and I hear her father's being hit up now to coach a few more athletes, so I wonder if that amazing. Will come about.
Yeah, you can stop the roof tile. He's a tiler, I think.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's a bathroom tiler or something. So how cool is that?
Oh, it's amazing, yeah, and hopefully that continues to work out for them. That, and, yeah, I think Jess is the number one promising athlete in my mind in the next year and across so many events, hey, but probably more so, you know, that those, you got that 2K record and that 15 and well, even three, not so much an Olympic event, but the 15, three, five, even 10 for her as well. We'll see what, even the next 5 years, if she will go up to longer runs.
I think she did say in an interview once that she'll do the marathon one day. Yeah, she's going to see it all the way through, I think.
Yeah.
And she's got the strength to do so. But it was so amazing when watching the crossing a line at the silver. I actually cried while I came into the lounge room. He's like, what's wrong? I'm like bawling my eyes out because I couldn't believe she did. I think it was such a stressful moment because you're just hoping that the race would unfold for her and her strength. You know what I mean? And I'll never forget, like, when I did a few national championships, she's the type of person that would wait for everybody to finish and she'd shake your hand. And I'll never forget, I think it was like 3K nationals, I didn't have a good race. And she's like, she said my name. She's like, well done, Brooke. I'm like, oh my God, she knows my name. But like, yeah, I was just stoked. But I think it was really special just to watch it all because I felt like I had like such a connection from, you just watch someone go through all the races, like even the World Cross, her doing that amazing race, and then just heaps, you know, you watch our athletes just go through all the ups and downs and all the different races and they just keep showing up relentlessly. And it's just amazing when it finally unfolds for them. Like, it was such an amazing thing that she did.
Yeah, and definitely helps when you're committed and very, like, very kind person. Even if she wasn't kind, she sounds kind. Her voice is just like, she's got that voice you can't hate, you know. She comes across as and also very professional in what she does. But let's wrap that up there. We aimed for, well, I said we'd aim for 40 minutes and classic us, we've spoken, I think, probably closer to an hour. But hopefully the listeners are excited for the podcast to be back. I've got a few listeners coming up in the few weeks, a handful I've booked in for not the next week, but the next couple of months. So looking forward to speaking further to others, but hope they enjoyed a familiar voice for this episode. So thank you very much, Brooke.
Thank you. Now it's good to be back.
Yeah, well, I'll post it out there maybe even tonight if I've got the energy, but it's 9:40 Baruga time, New South Wales, and 8:40 here. So we'll see how we go. And all the best in the coming weeks and months really before the birth of your second born. And keep running till you can't.
Yeah, I'll try. All right, thanks so much, Ollie.
Thanks. See ya.
See ya.